How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Friday morning. Yes, the weekend is here with Sports Radio TSN 1200. We're glad you're along for this fifth day of March 2021. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer, and you're waking up to a chilly morning. Wind chill value right now at around minus 25. It'll be a pretty cold day and cold weekend ahead, but as we said, the promise of much milder than normal weather is on the way for next week. Monday's not looking quite as warm now, but the rest of next week. Rest of next week. We're still looking at Tuesday 8, Wednesday 10, Thursday 8. That's next week. This week and weekend, not quite there. Cloudy afternoon flurries today. Wind chill for most of the day. High of minus 9. Tomorrow flurries minus 8. Sunday sunny. Minus 5. So as we mentioned, a chilly weekend ahead. Right now, minus 14, wind chill, minus 25. As we say, good morning to the well-bundled up and got the weekend vibe going, Sean Simpson. How are you doing this morning, Simmer?
I'm good, JR. And you're right, a little on the chilly side. Chilly yesterday, but pulling up that forecast, man, oh man, 10 degrees on Wednesday. That looks awfully good as we've had a little bit of a cold stretch here, so I'm ready to rock and roll on a Friday. How are you doing?
Good, excellent. Thank you very much. I want to thank the Ottawa Senators very much for having a very poor hockey game last night, allowing most people to get to bed early, knowing that one was well in hand for the Calgary Flames.
I ended up watching the Montreal-Winnipeg game, switched over, watched a period, and I decided a couple of things. One, I'm going to make the executive decision to head to bed, and I'm also not going to tweet anything out. I mean, I think I've covered everything at this point, JR. Like, what? You know, you reach and really...
Groundhog Day?
Well, for your team, I mean, hey, you know, not that guys aren't going to improve and things can't change, but... You know, what evaluation are you going to have of any of the Sens players as it sits right now? So it was a clunker. It was a stinker. And we wake up this morning and find out after just an unbelievable ice hockey match, Calgary Flames changed their coach.
Yeah, exactly. So
that was an absolute shocker, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, were you?
Well, not shocked on a coaching change, only shocked on the parties involved.
On the who, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So he's mentioned in the update, yes, Jeff Ward was... And they always use the term relieved of his duties. So who's exactly, I guess maybe the fan base, if they don't like the coach, is relieved. Maybe the coach himself is like, you know what, I'm on borrowed time. I'm relieved that I no longer have to coach this band of misfits.
Yeah.
But I always found that to be a curious way to do things. Relieved of their duties. But yes, Jeff Ward, relieved of his duties. And Daryl Sutter, the old cowboy. Is back in town again. And I tell you what, his first game, well, actually, they play Edmonton tomorrow. Calgary does. And then they play Ottawa again. That's Ottawa's next game is Sunday, but Calgary's got a game in the meantime. So it's Daryl Sutter and DJ Smith coming up on Sunday. That is going to be the battle of the...
We got to be triceps, biceps, arceps, hard.
It is going to be the triceps, biceps, arceps, hard cup coming up on Sunday. I want to see a trophy... Oh. In that hockey rink on Sunday for the winner of that game.
Yeah, and buckle up, Mr. Monahan, Mr. Goudreau, and the rest of that soft bunch. That is not going to be any fun. You talk about coming out of your comfort zone. Didn't see that one, but yeah, kind of felt like it. It was funny last night, Jared, for whatever reason. And hey, there's some good coaches, I guess, led by Dave Tippett and Paul Maurice. But I was thinking to myself, kind of interesting when you think about Dominic Ducharme to Travis Green to Sheldon Keefe to DJ Smith, even Mr. Ward. What a kind of anonymous group that is in Canada, and they're young coaches and they're all pretty doing pretty good for themselves, but enter in one of the all-time beauties, hockey royalty, I guess you want to say it, but just that mentality of if DJ Smith wants somebody to back him up on when things aren't going well, just work harder. Well, I'll tell you what, the man that coined the motto is back in the saddle.
He is apparently. I was just reading a Calgary newspaper reporter actually said he phoned Daryl Sutter last week and was just talking to him about a feature on because he is essentially, I think, since he got fired by the Kings the last couple of years, he's been a coaching consultant with the Anaheim Ducks, but basically living on the ranch back in Alberta. And he said, it's funny you should call. All my neighbors are asking me what's wrong with the Flames.
Yeah.
So apparently Brad Treliving asked the same question and got it answered by the old cowboy.
Yeah.
Who's back in charge now, of course, won 2 cups with L.A. So you can't take that away from him.
For sure,
and
for
took
sure.
Calgary, a hard-working bunch, with Sean Donovan in the middle of it all, to a cup final back in 2004, an unlikely run in 2004.
So he's got a lot of history, of course, was a GM in Calgary for a long time as well. So he's got a long history with that. And for Brad Treliving, I think this is, I don't know how, I thought GMs were only allowed to coach or to hire like two or maybe max three. I think he's on coach four or five now.
Is that many, eh?
Yeah, it's been quite a few. Most of them anonymous as well. But anyway, he's got Daryl Sutter in charge now, I guess, in maybe a final bid to save his job.
Yeah, and also a larger-than-life personality. Remember him in San Jose, and he was working for Dean Lombardi. And next thing you know, old Dino's out the door. He ends up becoming general manager. Funny, they reunited in L.A., won some cups together, and Craig Button on TV. Of course, he had come in, and it was Craig that hired him in Calgary. And then Craig got fired. He took over those duties. If you've been around the Sutters, and I've only been around a few of them, but boy, oh boy, larger-than-life personalities in that sense, right? When they walk into a room, the way they command, the way they dominate, and as I said, it'll be really interesting. And interesting move, but if I'm a Calgary Flames fan, I'll say, hey, why not? You know, why not try to kind of see what we can get out of this crew here and see if we can rile up a little bit of motion.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that all came after the game last night, which was a 7-3 win, Flames. Beat the Sens. We'll talk more about that, get you all the post-game reaction, welcome your thoughts as well throughout the course of the morning. Of course, today being a Friday, it's a wrench-throwing Friday. Anything in the world of sports, the world in general, that has bothered you the last 7 days, we toss a wrench at it. Feel good going into the weekend. Your acronym, if you're new to the show, for wrench-throwing Friday, think about that, is WTF, which normally you go, what the? So that's kind of where we're driving at, where we're going with wrench-throwing Friday. And every once in a while, on a wrench-throwing Friday, our first wrench of the day is kicked off on the phones with our good friend 545 Mike, who is phoning us this morning at 6:14 this morning. How are you doing this morning, Mike?
Very good, John.
Are you sure, Mike? You didn't sound very good. You sound tired.
I'm a little bit traumatized, but I'm okay.
Traumatized by what?
By the wrenches I'm going to have to throw. Oh,
how many?
Just two.
Okay, all right. Let's have it.
How are you, Simmer?
I'm excellent, Mike.
Well, the first one is reverse wrench.
Wow, Mike, have you ever thrown a reverse wrench?
It's my first one.
Okay, all right, let's hear it.
It goes to Hammer.
Yeah!
I was traumatized by a 10-year-old kid a couple days ago.
What? Oh, yeah, the kid he yellow-carded on the soccer pitch. Oh, that's right.
And my wrench goes to that little kid who partly destroyed Hammer's life. He's never been the same.
No, he's
and
still
that kid can thank his lucky stars that girlfriend Steeler, Matt Cook, wasn't referee in that game.
He wasn't my linesman.
That's a very good point. The kid would have no Achilles after that. It's all good. Mike, well thrown wrenches, my friend. Thank you very much.
All right.
Have a good one. All right.
I'm going to run you. I'm just waiting for my shift.
There you go.
Okay,
all
the
right.
Kid didn't traumatize me. It was the
you
coaches
traumatized
and the
him.
Parents. I don't think so. No, he was being a dink.
And we should actually do a little bit of a reset here because this was late in the show a couple of days ago where you revealed for the first time ever that as your one and only turn as a soccer official at the age of what, 12?
13.
13? You yellow-carded a 10-year-old in a recreational soccer game.
Because he kept kicking the ball out of bounds to delay the game.
Yeah, you didn't want to think to go to the coach, hey, coach, maybe you could pull your player out of the game here for a little bit and calm him down or tell him what the rules of the game are. At 10, he may not even know the rules.
No,
you pull out Mr. Power Man. Here's my yellow card here, young child.
I had to buy those yellow cards, too.
Yeah, and then he scrambled across town and quit his Dickie D job as well. That was all in the same day?
No, it wasn't in the same day, but both lasted the same amount of time, one day.
Wow, no staying power whatsoever.
And I warned that kid. That's the issue. I warned him, and then he did it again. He was testing me.
He deserved it. Hey?
Oh, he did.
Yeah. Still probably cowering in some corner back in Bell Vegas.
Well, he'd be a 40-year-old man now. Remembering that day.
All right, so there's your template, everybody. You want to toss a wrench, easiest way? Well, you can do it on the phones like Mike did at 750-1200. You can text us at 12-1200 when you text us. Standard messaging rates apply. You can tweet at us as well. Tweet your wrenches at TSN1200. Easy for me to say. So we'll take a break, come back with more wrenches throughout the morning. We'll come back, we'll review last night's Sens game, a 7-3 loss to Calgary. We'll go around the rest of the National Hockey League. Sad stories you heard Chris mention in the news. Canada's hockey dad, Walter Gretzky, passed away last night at the age of 82. So we'll relive some memories of Walter Gretzky as well. Get through some basketball stuff ahead of All-Star Weekend. Got some baseball news. We got the Brier starting tonight. You got tons of stuff. Oh, and some pretty juicy football rumors going around as well. We'll delve into all of that when we come back here on this Friday morning. We're glad you're with us on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. FootballTalk.com. We'll talk about all those juicy quarterback rumors going on around the National Football League. That'll happen after 9 o'clock this morning. It is a wrench-throwing Friday. Anything that's bothered you the last 7 days, toss a wrench at it. Feel good going into the weekend. A few have already come in, including this one from me to the order. Good morning, boys. Can I get a Dave Branch wrench, please, at Matt Murray? Although I'm sure it won't hit him. The guy's a sieve. Yes, for Matt Murray, not a lot of pucks hit him last night as the Sens and Flames went at it. In fact, the goal scoring and the sieve making started early on Mr. Murray.
Long lead pass out to center, busting in. Here's Ryan looking across, gets to the cross, quick shot, scores! Richie! Madison down to the Ottawa line, takes it wide, tanking around Zaitsev. Back to the corner. Centering pass back in front of the shot, scores! Dubé takes a feed from Tkachuk. It's quickly 2-0 Calgary.
Yeah, you know it's not good when you can hear the in-arena announcer announcing the first goal when the second goal goes in. So that was all before 3 minutes had elapsed in the game last night. 2 goals in 37 seconds for the Flames. And listen, not all on Matt Murray, but listen, you're the last line of defense. You got to do something somehow, some way. They were down 2-0, 3 minutes in. He let in 3 goals on the first 5 shots, 4 goals in the first period. They were down 4-1. He got pulled after that. Simmer, it was not Matt Murray's night last night.
No, and absolutely incredible in trying to get any feel or any read. There's certainly been games where he's been good. But overall, JR, the most alarming thing, quite simply, has been the starts. I mean, there's been just a number of first periods this year where I don't care what team you are, but as a young rebuilding hockey team, I need some saves. He was back on the goal line. He's playing small. I mean, the entire crew looked like they were asleep at the wheel or adjusting to the time change. But no, that was not a good effort for Matt Murray. And as I said, it's kind of one step forward and a couple back for the Sens veteran goaltender.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. And you've kind of raised those alarm bells, and maybe it's due to past experience, I'm not sure, about slow starts for Matt Murray. It'd be interesting to kind of go back and just do his first period save percentage
this year.
And goals against average. Hammer, you're writing. You don't need to do that. I think we all know it would be really bad.
Yeah, big time.
I mean, the starts, as you said, have just not been, for whatever reason, having trouble settling in, whatever it is. He just, for the most part, just can't seem to get that part of it down.
Yeah, and as I said, you look at stuff like that, JR, and now physically, I'm not going to pretend that he's Marc-Andre Fleury or the most gifted guy. But as a two-time Stanley Cup champion, the most perplexing part to me, generally, I'll say that that's a mental stat. You know, that's a lack of confidence, a lack of getting into a rhythm. And quite simply, that might be my scariest part of a goaltender for a 4-year contract that jumps up to next year to $6 million, to $7 million, to $8 million the next 3 years. He's not providing near the stability. I understand, JR, when you have hitches in your game and you're working on things, but I think that mental part of it, it's just like, wow. It's a little hard to comprehend at 26 years old after winning a couple of Stanley Cups that he looks so nervous in the net and you have no predictability. All those years of Craig Anderson of getting a pretty good rhythm or pretty good feel, you have no idea what this guy's going to do on a nightly basis.
Yeah, and of course, his last game, the game on Monday in Montreal, was arguably his best game of the year.
Outstanding.
You're thinking, okay, maybe he's kind of righted the ship here a little bit, and it's going to be a new Matt Murray going forward. And instead, last night we reverted to the Matt Murray that we've seen for most of this year. But as said, it wasn't on entirely on him alone. The defense was backing in on him. The Zaitsev-Colburn pairing, in particular, early in the game, they were on for 3 of the first 4 goals. They had looked like they'd never played together before, which probably is the case. They've never played together. We'll get into the defense pairings, but let's go to DJ Smith post-game here on TSN 1200. It was his thoughts on the 7-3 loss.
Are you a little baffled at the club's performance tonight?
Yeah, we weren't very good. We had, you know, looked to me that we had no legs. Certainly at the start and right on through, we just looked like we were skating uphill. And, you know, we maybe found it for a few minutes here and there, but, you know, as a whole, we just didn't have much tonight.
Hate to sound like an alarmist, but did your D zone coverage take a step back here this evening?
Well, we were slow to every puck and, you know, they won every battle. And when you're not sharp and you don't have your legs, you know, you don't get loose pucks. you know, all the way around, everything we did, we just weren't sharp.
I was just going to say it's probably unfair to single out individual performances or lack thereof here tonight. Are you just sort of saying five man units when they were out there just didn't do the job?
Yeah, that's for sure. It's ours. This was to finish seven games in 11 nights. You know, with travel, there's no excuse for that game tonight. I think it's one of those ones. You know, when you're that flat, it's tough to judge your team.
Hey, Coach, what do you think of Ryan Zingel coming back in July?
Oh, he was good. You know what? He was probably the one guy that had legs. You know, he had good legs. He was dangerous offensively. He worked. He was physical. You know, he was probably our best player.
Yep, loving the DeZingle legs last night right there. Yeah, Ryan DeZingle was one of the few bright spots for Ottawa last night in his Sens debut this season. Yeah. He got a goal in the third period off a semi-breakaway, I guess. And so he got one of the goals, as you heard DJ mention. Not a lot of other guys were bringing much to the table. Anisimov had a power play goal also in the third period. So those two goals came when the Sens were down 6-1. And then the other goal was scored by Josh Norris. And that one came shortly after the Flames jumped out to the 2-0 lead. And you thought, okay, Norris got a goal back. But then the Flames bounced back and got Sean Monahan got a goal a few minutes after that. And it was 3-1. And that was the end of the night. So not a lot of positives from Ottawa.
No. Ryan DeZingle over 15 minutes. And you're right, Jer. You notice it right away with the legs. And, yeah, I guess another game. Hey, just burn the tape. Or I guess it's on a microchip now. Whatever it is, it was a clunker. But as I said, I do look at that. And I also say some of the sequence here, you know, where you end up having a veteran goaltender, there's going to be nights where you're not great, where you don't have a great start. And, hey, quite simply, at the end of the day, for the money he's making and for the pedigree that he brings, he's just got to be better. I mean, it is that simple. There's just too many of these where there's nights, I understand, your club might be a little slow starting or you don't have your legs, but you need more out of your veteran goaltender.
For the first time in terms of a lot of time together, they moved Artem Zub up with Thomas Chabot, and I think most of us have thought that Zub has probably been the most consistent defenseman this season with Ottawa, both in terms of just his positioning and his defensive awareness and his defensive play. And it's kind of like, well, Chabot with the puck on his stick, we know he's outstanding in his own end. He is still very much a work in progress. I think, you know, there's still a ton of turnovers. There's still lots of warts in his game. Thought, okay, they'll put Zub with him, and, you know, Zub plays with Riley. Riley gets better.
Yeah.
Put
yeah.
Zub with Chabot. Chabot will get better. And for the first period, it was funny, they were down 4-1. Those two were on for the only goal, so they were a plus one. The other two defensive pairs were minus, on for the other four goals. Well, as the game went on, even they got sucked down the drain as well, because they ended up being on for the last three Calgary goals to both finish minus one. Yeah. So we'll say that entire defensive, so that was my focus, because to be quite honest with you, I've debated the Matt Murray thing enough. I'm almost kind of tired of the storyline. Yeah, no, now I've moved on to the defensive. And where we're at with the defense going forward with this team. Because I think if you look at the forwards, and I'm looking ahead to next year, kind of, all right, there's building blocks, to be sure, right? Yeah. There's a core of young forwards. Everybody can see it. They're all getting better for the most part every single game. For the defense, right now, as it sits, Chabot, warts and all, he's there. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Going to be a key part of this whole thing. I think Zub has been a pleasant surprise for everybody. I don't think anybody would argue with the fact not much known about this group. Absolutely, I'd pen him in for a spot on the team next year. But after that, I mean, you got a bunch of maybes, a bunch of expiring contracts, and a bunch of thanks for coming, but you're not back here next year's. That's what next year's defense is right now.
Can you fill out a roster with sorry, you're back next year's? Hey, here's what you're going to run into. And again, here in Ottawa, JR, as far as building a defense, trying to get past anything more than Mathot and Carlson, I mean, Phaneuf came in for a little bit and I guess provided something, but you kind of go through it. And here's what I'm doing if I'm the coach. Okay, I'd like to have Zub with Chabot, but I'm almost right into the category of Knights. They dress Carlson and Mathot together. And I'd say to myself, come on, I appreciate that you guys like playing together. You got to spread this around. Nobody else is capable of playing. And the part when you watch Zaitsev, he doesn't provide any stability to anybody. So you put him with an older, slower player, it ends up being just mass chaos. So if you're going to load, I don't want to say load up, but if it is Zub and Shabbat, yeah, trying to piece the rest of this together and even looking big picture. And this is where you wonder, you got this team that doesn't skate very well. To me, the obvious is that I give Wolanin a try, but obviously when you start running 8-9 deep and he's not getting a look, coach isn't a big fan of him. So yeah, very much interested, not even in the short term, just long term, how they're going to kind of piece this together, as you said, to match up with what should be a very good forward group.
So when they announced yesterday afternoon that they're going to put Zub and Shabbat together, I thought to myself, well, I think everybody's been anxious to see, you know, the club's most consistent defenseman with their best defenseman. And okay, maybe that'll lock up that top pairing for the next little bit, give you a lot of stability. That's the upside.
Yeah,
the downside is that means those two guys are playing together. That means you got the whole schmozzle after that playing a part. And we saw that play itself out. They brought Coburn in and Coburn had been okay the game before that he played, but they put him with Zaitsev. Again, they looked like neither of them had played hockey before in the first period.
Yeah.
They were on for three of the goals. Brännström and Gudbranson continues to be hit and miss, more miss than hit, I think, at this stage. They're a work in progress as well as a pairing. So the upside of putting your two best guys together is, okay, you got one solid pair. The downside is your other two pairs are just not good enough right now.
Yeah, and also I think a realization, JR, in the season, for whatever people may think or not think, at the end of the day, Mike Riley's been your third best defenseman. Would you agree?
Yes.
You know, I mean, that is that obvious that for whatever mistakes he makes, his ability to actually mobilize and move the puck, and at the end of the
Riley didn't play. For those who don't know, Riley didn't play last night. He's banged up.
Yeah, and honestly, when you look at Zaitsev and anybody else in that group, to where Gudbranson is at, to Brännström, to Coburn, you know, you're talking about all those guys are at the very best third pairing defensemen, right? I mean, you're basically looking at it and saying, who's your 3-4 right now? And I don't know that in the short or long term, like I said, between Bernard Docker coming in and down the road with other guys, how are you going to end up filling that? And as I said, the feeling of that you've passed by a guy like Wolanin, which I'm not even going to get into frustration because, as I said, it's up to the coach to decide. I just look at these certain situations, and if I'm going to dress an older player in Coburn who really can't play, isn't part of my future, versus trying a young player to see at 25 years old if maybe he's capable, I would personally lean towards a 25-year-old, but I'm not in charge of the lineup.
Yeah. And I think DJ Smith has been, I've said this for the last week or two, as Wolanin has even slid down the depth chart as far as practice goes. He's like the ninth defenseman.
Yeah,
it's like
time.
He's made up his mind.
Yeah,
DJ
time.
Smith
has
made up his mind on Christian Wolanin that he is not a Christian Wolanin guy. He very much looks like, the coach, it's very apparent, holds a lot of sway with the general manager, with the coach, the players the coach wants are the players that that come to town, and the players the coach doesn't like are the players that leave town, and there doesn't appear to be, on the surface at least, a lot of pushback from the general manager.
Yeah.
Whether that's healthy long-term or not, we can debate that, but as far as Christian Wolanin's future with the Ottawa Senators goes, it would appear to be very muddied, unless we see a couple of injuries or the play just becomes so subpar that he somehow works himself back into the lineup and gets a chance again. I think his time with the Ottawa Senators looks like it's finished.
And you also cross into his own. It's a two-way street, and again...
Yeah, and he hasn't been great.
I'm not defending his play so far this year. No, we all have, but again, there's not a defenseman on that group outside of possibly Zub and Shabbat, and Shabbat has his issues, but I don't have a problem with that. But the rest of the group, I mean, to ever base it on guys struggling, or if Wolanin had a period like Zaitsev and Coburn, we may never see him again, but what has crossed and what is different right now? Hey, you're certainly an employee as a defenseman. The coach is in charge. The general manager is in charge. But you've also crossed over a trust and a feeling, whereas an athlete, and I think Wolanin has been, you know, not overly verbal, but has basically said, hey, you know what? I don't have much of a rope here. When you have that feeling as a young player, and we saw this a lot with Guy Boucher, where it was like, it was ridiculous the one time, I think it was Shabbat or somebody made one mistake and he didn't get another shift. When you don't have that trust as an athlete to hop out, as a young player, I need some reps. I need some time here. I need to get comfortable. And that's not in place right now. And I'm assuming for the athlete probably looks at it and says, hey, it's better that we both just stay cut ties here and move me along and get me an opportunity because I think I can play in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, the weird thing about Christian Wolanin is while he seems like a young player and he's relatively new and, again, hasn't played that much in the National Hockey League, on St. Patrick's Day, he turns 26 years old. So this is not a young player. He's young in terms of experience in the National Hockey League, but he's now a middle-aged player when it comes to your average age in the National Hockey League. That's the conundrum about him right now, right? And you wonder, the whole thing with him is he started playing defense pretty late until he was like 16 or 17 years old. He was a forward. And his dad played in the NHL. But when you watch him play, the defensive instincts just aren't there. Can those be developed quickly enough where he can make himself into a defenseman that you are going to want to go forward with? That's the question.
Yeah, it is. And you would look at this as well. And again, I would say watching his shifts, JR, and watching him overall, do I have a total feel on his game? I don't. But I'll also say from the club side, I appreciate that he learned a little bit older. But at the same time, it's like watching a Brent Burns and saying, okay, if you're good enough, at some point it's going to click in. Do you know what I mean? And then you would say to yourself, is there a little bit of a lack of hockey sense? Is there something missing that's stopping you? Because it feels like even at this point, you would have had enough reps to be comfortable. And hey, let's be honest, athletically and the way he skates and some of the things he does, boy, he's a terrific fit for today's National Hockey League, right? Like this isn't the 1980s where you got to be 6'4" and cross-checking everybody. On paper, he looks like, wow, this is exactly what you'd want on your hockey team.
Pablo has tweeted at us at TSN 1200, wrenches please to Pierre Dorion for the absolute worst, he wrote in capital letters, off-season acquisition we've ever seen. Here's the list. The additions were it's not alphabetical, but Josh Brown, Eric Gudbranson, Matt Murray, Austin Watson, Alex Galchenyuk, Cedric Paquette, Braden Coburn, Evgeny Dadonov, Derek Stepan, Michael Haley, subtractions, Bobby Ryan, Mark Borowiecki, Anthony Duclair, and Craig Anderson. And we've all kind of thought, overall the players they brought in haven't been very good in totality. And then you kind of look at the list of names there that Pablo put together, and it's like, that's bad. That has not worked. So let's get our collective wrenches, please.
I, as the GM of the Ottawa Senators, am proud of what we've done today.
And then you look again, Simmer, on that list. That has not worked out very well at all.
Just give me a minute. I'm going to be on the horn with Hockey Database because if I'm Pierre Dorion, I want those names eliminated from the roster. I do not want any trace. It's not good. There's no way to look around that. I understand where the team is at, draft development outstanding. I understand I don't have to bring in necessarily superstar players, but as you break down the list of that and you start to go back to the Stone, to Duchesne, to Zingle, and you start to go back and add up the transactions, it isn't a good look. And I, again, not trying to pile on anybody. Drafting and development has been absolutely outstanding, but the rest of it is you break down that offseason of giving up multiple second-round picks, handing out a large contract to Murray, to Dadonov. Yeah, it is not a good look on the general manager.
No, that was that's 10 players in total, and you can, who is the best of the bunch?
Zub would be, and that should be added on there.
Yeah.
That is an excellent pickup.
Yeah. All right, Zub is by far the best of the bunch. Dadonov, or there's about 5 games there where he was scoring some goals, but other than that, he's been pretty much invisible.
Who's a better player, Duclair or Dadonov?
Am I counting paycheck?
No.
And just commitment?
Just overall. I'd say Duclair is a better player.
It's close, but if I count everything, age, paycheck, productivity.
Turning, 32 years old next week?
Yeah.
$5 million. Those types of things, this guy has to come in and be a good player. Do you know what I mean? I don't miss on 3x5. Now, it's not 5x5, but again, the whole premise of this guy comes in to make you better. For my part that I've saw, and as I said, I'll also go back and be the one to say on Stepan, on Murray, on Dadonov, I was bullish on all 3 moves, JR, but I'm not a pro scout for the Ottawa Senators. But from what I've seen so far, I have not been impressed with his game.
Yeah, and so when you look at that list in its totality and realizing that, again, a lot of those players will come off the list as free agents and probably not be re-signed, there are still, as you project ahead to next season's team, you probably can only at this stage fill out, half of the roster with for-sures going forward for next year. The rest have to be filled in, whether it's from within, or again, whether you're kind of going out signing free agents, trading for players or whatever, yeah, and then you go by the track record of what was done in this past offseason, you go, that's pretty scary.
Yeah, because
there were a lot of swings and misses as far as, you know, what they brought in for this offseason. When Zub is basically your only positive, your only true positive,
been
a couple of maybe others that are maybes at this stage, and the rest have been everything from not very good to total disasters.
And
you're going, okay, we're going to roll back with the same group that's going to bring in the next crop of players.
That's
got to scare you a little bit.
Oh, it does. And as I said, when you look at the draft development, man, thank God, because it has been amongst the elite in the National Hockey League. And credit to the Mann brothers, credit to Dorian McTavish. Everyone on the staff deserves credit for it. But no, as I said, go back and do kind of a debrief on the last 3 years of what is shown right now, even from the Brassard trade, the swing with Zibanejad, what you have from Stone, what you have from Duchesne. Now, super positive has been the Erik Karlsson trade. But when you start to add up the entire side of pro side, it's not a good look.
All right, a wrench to end the segment. Wrench to all of you guys for killing the karma by playing team rap songs and talking about the playoffs last week. That comes from unsigned. Hail to the big men. I'll take that one. I will take that one. But I think I was speaking on behalf of most people. I was just a little bit ahead of myself. I'll take that wrench. All right, 7-3 is the final. Flames beat the Sens last night. Ottawa back at it again against Calgary. Oh, thankfully, this will be the last game against the Flames. And I like Calgary, and I'm sick of watching them. That's the next game coming up on Sunday night here on TSN 1200. All right, we'll take a break at 6:44, come back, talk about the rest of the hockey issues, take a trip around the world of sports as we continue along here on a Friday morning on Sports Radio TSN 1200. And a hammer with you, Sens fall 7-3 in Calgary last night. Much more on the game. Get to more of your reaction throughout it. We'll talk about it with Pierre McGuire coming up after 8 o'clock this morning. Next game for Ottawa, by the way, you get another kind of almost full weekend off. It's 9:30 Sunday night. It's another late night Western game for the Sens, and they haven't done very well in those. I think I did the math last night after the second period, so I have to add the two. It's something along the lines of they've been outscored 48-17 or thereabouts in any game from Manitoba West so far this year, and I think they've got one win collectively in all those games. So it hasn't been very good for Ottawa whenever they venture out of the Eastern time zone.
Interesting, eh? The games against Montreal, Toronto been competitive. Toronto, the best team in the Canadian division, but you're right, and I don't like Sundays, JR, and I do not like late Sundays, so chances of me enjoying the late night ice hockey match. My entire focus this weekend is now on the Belleville Senators.
Okay.
That is where I'm looking and saying, okay, going to put my time in. We're at the halfway point. I've broken down the Ottawa Senators players. I've critiqued the lineups, the moves, everything else. I don't got much more going on here. So a lot of focus on the system now.
Simmer will be listening. You should too. to BSN's Manitoba Moose tonight and then tomorrow afternoon here on TSN 1200. 7 o'clock tonight, 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. AJ Jakubek and the shooter, Brad Smith, will have the call for you here on TSN 1200. Quick wrench on this wrench throwing Friday. Can I throw a helicopter jet engine wrench, please, at my girlfriend's ex for dropping the kids off at my house during our date night last night?
Surplus helicopter jet engine.
I can't speak
sneaky
to this personally, but that sounds offside.
That's a rally killer.
It's killing something.
Like, seriously, that is an absolute rally killer.
Yeah, we don't have all the context.
No.
If last night was the scheduled drop-off night, last night's the drop-off night, but if that's ahead of schedule, that's like, come on. It's like, as a guy versus guy, it's kind of like, fella. Listen, I understand here. The kids and the well-being of the kids is the most important thing. But anyway.
Gee, well, what if you're popping that blue pill and then the kid ding dong? Now what are you doing?
Oh no! The door open. There's little Jenny and Johnny at the front door.
What if that's actually? What if
you got the sweatpants?
What if that's
on?
That might be D. That might be D from the commercial. Hey,
D. Come on, D.
Bring it, D. Attaboy!
Time to hit the snowbank. Cool it down.
Kids have that great effect on that. All right, let's
You can't
go
even,
through.
With cell phones nowadays, you can't even pretend you're not home either, right?
No, exactly. They're tracing you. All right, much more on the Sens coming up. We did have two other all-Canadian matchups last night. Leafs went from Edmonton, where they won three in a row, out to Vancouver to take on the Sad Sack Canucks. And, of course, this one turned out exactly like you thought that it would.
Schmidt, Myers, Gaudette, Hoglander, and Vertanen, and Gaudette gets it into the Toronto zone. Vertanen, sharp angle, he scores! Shotgun Jake with his second of the game. Tip him back, Vancouver. The Canucks lead 2-1 with 8:31 left in the second.
There you go, and that stands up as the game winner. Jake Vertanen, rumored to be on the trade block for the Canucks. Maybe up the value a little bit with a pair of goals. Michael Hutchinson, by the way, was in the Leafs net last night, and that one was from a terrible angle. In fact, it was a lot like the Paul Stastny goal on Jake Allen for Montreal last night, where they're down on their knees give up the top corner of the net, and the shooters these days are just their ability to elevate the puck from even in close up and under the bar is better than it's ever been before. That was the Vertanen goal last night, and Vancouver goes on to beat the Leafs 3-1.
Yeah, and earlier Vertanen had one was almost a reverse side of Batherson against Montreal, right? Comes off the angle, hops over Hutch, should end up being the defenseman, put it in. But you're right, and as far as an actual technical play, JR, for the goaltenders, that's actually the way they're supposed to play it, right? Yeah. I mean, and you know, it's almost like, hey, if you can make that shot, which more and more guys are able to do, then okay, you've kind of beat me. It was hard to tell on the Stastny one because the angle was a little different on Allen.
Well, the problem on that one was Stastny was coming from the side, right?
Exactly.
Is that Allen was kind of turned toward the middle, so he didn't have his, he wasn't fully, I don't know what the technical goalie is.
Well, he wasn't
him.
Squared up.
He was
playing the pass across.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what he was thinking. And on the Vertanen fella, man, he is just such a tease, right? Like you'll see the odd situation where he's skating.
I mean, he's a guy, if you're Ottawa, that I wonder if, and again, it's all on price point, but if you're the Sens and you're an ascending team, you kind of look, is that the type of guy you want to take a bit of a gamble on?
Yeah. I've always looked at him, and the issue that I always have and the most frustrating part, as a young player, there can be inconsistency. I just don't think he has a hockey sense, JR, and I hate to go down the path of those players that, athletically can be a bit of a tease, but at the end of the day, that part, unfortunately, you never straighten out.
All right, so the Canucks win that one, surprise the Leafs. I think the Leafs were probably due for a clunker, so that was their clunker last night. Meanwhile, the Habs were home to the Jets last night. A 2-0 Winnipeg lead. Habs came back to tie it. Winnipeg went in front on that Stastny goal we talked about. Habs tied it with the net empty as the puck went in off Corey Perry. So we'll take you to 3-on-3 overtime. And I watched that entire overtime. And listen, God love Paul Maurice. He's throwing it down, saying, you know what? I'm rolling with three forwards in 3-on-3 overtime. And this one, this 3-on-3 overtime went almost the entire 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. There was not a defenseman from Winnipeg that saw the ice. He was just constantly rolling forwards, and eventually it paid off.
Ehlers, he will then skedaddle inside that Montreal end. He has a bit of a break, cutting toward the net. Out in front now for Dubois. Shot, he scores! Pierre-Luc Dubois wins it for Winnipeg in overtime tonight.
There you go. There's our laughing play-by-play guy from Winnipeg and dropping a rarely heard skedaddle in his play-by-play. We don't get enough skedaddling in our play-by-play, but Pierre-Luc Dubois back home in our relative home in Montreal gets the game winner for the Jets. They win it 4-3.
Yeah, and interesting with Paul Maurice because I love it, and I think as a Canadian division, there'll be a little more pressure for other teams to do that. And when you look at Winnipeg, I mean, it's not like on the back end, JR, they don't have a few guys. I mean, Pionk's been having a nice year. Hennessy went healthy. This is something really kind of cool to end up seeing.
Well,
and as far as Dubois, the puck kind of got up on edge and he threw it. And what I had never realized, and I thought he was just a bit shy after the craziness in Columbus, not the best interview in the world, but certainly thrilled to be back in Montreal and score the winner.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing with the three, what's neat about what Maurice is doing by going with the forwards, because when you think about how 3-on-3 has evolved, and we've seen it since they first introduced it, how it's evolved over time, where the teams now have no reluctance to, if it's not there, we'll take it back out of the zone, we'll change guys if we need to. It's all about puck possession.
Yeah.
But when teams are defending, by and large, how do they defend? It's just man on man. It's like I got that guy, you got that guy, you got that guy. That's how they defend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the necessity of having a defenseman, I think is mitigated a bit by that, because everybody, is a defenseman a better defender naturally than a forward? Yeah, But if my job as a forward, even if I'm not a Selke trophy winner, is, hey, that's my guy. When we don't have the puck, that's the guy I got to cover. I think that makes that a lot easier. So I really like that line of thinking.
Yeah,
if we don't, like, if you've got a defenseman that can play 3-on-3, great. Absolutely, you'd want to go that way. But if you don't think you do, and you've got 6 elite forwards like Winnipeg does, and you just want to roll, you know, 3 of them at a time and keep rolling that, I got no issue with that whatsoever.
Yeah, I agree. And another thing, I think on a forward group, a couple of things. With the way forwards defend now, they're so much better than they used to be, especially as a winger. You used to kind of stand up by the defenseman, you know, tactically, how you move your feet, get to backside pressure. Also, you get to a chemistry when you have groups that have played together like Winnipeg and you all of a sudden are off the rush. And I just think the instincts, other than, you know, you see a defenseman hop into the rush chair, the creativity to make switches and stuff, I think the forwards have an advantage there as well offensively. Do you know what I mean? It's just a little more natural where, you know, you do have the odd defenseman, but usually the defenseman is more like, okay, I'm going to hit the hole and that's the only spot I'm going to go to, where the forwards, hey, I got a line. You know, think about the Boston Bruins. I mean, imagine going against Pastrnak, Bergeron, and Marchand, where on a power play, they're just dancing around. They got all this chemistry. You have no idea what they're going to do. Imagine how that would look in a 3-on-3.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, there was at least, I'm trying to think now, at least 2. Kyle Connor had a breakaway from his own blue line, and Jake Allen stopped him. And there was another, a full 2-on-1 with Scheifele and Wheeler, in which Wheeler should have scored, ended up kind of fanning on the shot. So it's not just that one chance and goal. Like, they were creating opportunities throughout that overtime and had chances to win it earlier.
Yeah, and off of a rebound as well, Byron had a real nice opportunity. Hallebeck made a nice save. And I watched almost all of that game before switching over. And it's just interesting with Montreal. I can see where there's a little bit of progress. Drouin certainly is dialed in. But just kind of the overall feel of it. I'm really interested
to
see.
Not the spark you thought?
Well, yeah, but again, now you look at the shots on goal, and they were certainly deserved to be in the game. But yeah, and now power play has certainly been better with Alex Burrows. But yeah, just the energy around the club. Maybe you have expectations of so much more. And the biggest difference, man, like if you had a coaching change, if you're in Montreal and you actually have a crowd there, well, that's going to have a whole different energy to it, obviously.
Absolutely. Coaching change in Montreal earlier in the week. Coaching change in Calgary last night after the Flames beat the Sens 7-3. They fired Jeff Ward and they've hired Daryl Sutter as their new coach. So we'll come back. We'll talk about that and, of course, much more about the Sens as well. But first up, we've got a news update from 580 CFRA. We'll run down the entire scoreboard for you. All the sports news, bring you right up to date. And then when we return, we'll also speak about the passing of Canada's hockey dad. Walter Gretzky passed away last night at the age of 82. We'll relive some memories with Walter Gretzky when we return here on TSN 1200.